Hi everyone, my name is Mr. Barlow and welcome to episode 8 of the VCE Biology podcast. This episode covers part of Unit 1, Area of Study 2, and I'll be talking about the way that organisms exchange gases with their environment. So it's extremely important for organisms to obtain gases, but also to excrete gases from cells. So for example, in humans, all of our humans need oxygen to survive so that cellular respiration or aerobic cellular respiration can take place. And then after cellular respiration has occurred, we need to get rid of the carbon dioxide that's been produced. And hold your breath for a few minutes, and I'm sure you'll find out pretty quickly that if you don't get oxygen into your body will freak out a little bit. And in fact, if you don't get enough oxygen, you'll die. Similarly, if you don't get rid of enough carbon dioxide, you'll end up with carbon dioxide poisoning and you'll die too. So it's really important for organisms to both get gases into their cells and get gases out of their cells. Now, gases move into and out of cells via the process of diffusion. And the amount of diffusion across the cell's plasma membrane depends on several things. It depends on the membrane's permeability, which basically means how easy it is for gases to move across the membrane. It depends on the available surface area. So basically, organisms want a really large surface area to volume ratio. So the bigger the surface area to volume ratio, the greater or the more gas exchange that can take place. It also depends on the thickness of the membrane. So ideally, in specialized gas exchange organs, ideally, you'd have a very thin membrane so that more gas can be exchanged. And the amount of gas exchange also depends on the size of the concentration gradient. So because it relies on diffusion, if you've got a really high concentration of the gas, say oxygen, on one side of the membrane, and a really low concentration of that gas on the other side of the membrane, then diffusion will occur far faster. Now, to maintain a good concentration gradient, you also need to have an adequate supply of the gas being transferred. So this means that your respiratory surface needs to be well ventilated. And you also need to have efficient removal of a gas once it has transferred. Otherwise, the concentration gradient will end up balancing out, and then you won't get very good gas exchange happening because the amount of gas on either side of the membrane will be equal, and no diffusion will happen, and that wouldn't be any good. So we know that animals need to exchange gases with their environment, and there are actually a few different ways that they do it, depending on how big they are and depending on what environment they live in. So if you're a really small animal, let's say you're a really flat worm like a planaria, then you've got a large enough surface area to volume ratio to just be able to exchange gases directly with your environment. You don't need any kind of special organs to do it. If you're a little bit bigger, and let's say you're an insect, then you might have a whole bunch of tubes in your body, a whole network of air-filled tubes, and these are called tracheae and phonotracheoles, and they basically enable gas exchange to flow through the insect's body so that all the cells in the body have adequate gas exchange. Now, if you're a big animal, you need to have a specialized gas exchange organ. So the type of gas exchange organ you have depends on the environment you live in. So if you live underwater, like a fish, you'll have gills. And if you live outside of the water, like on land, you'll have a set of lungs, like us. And gills and lungs are obviously quite different because the environment underwater is quite different from the environment on land. So the amount of gas available is very different underwater compared to on land. So the atmosphere, the gas all around you, which is what we as mammals breathe, is made up of close to 20% oxygen, which is quite a lot of oxygen. But underwater, the amount of oxygen dissolved in water is less than 1%. So gills need to be really efficient at getting the oxygen out of water. And one of the ways that they are efficient is that they use a process called countercurrent flow. So what happens there is, as the water passes over the fish's gills, blood flows in the opposite direction to the water, So this basically enables the maximum amount of oxygen to be taken up through the gills. Another interesting thing about fish and their gills is that the breathing rate of a fish is regulated by the amount of oxygen in the blood. So if there's a lot of oxygen in the blood, they don't pump as much water over their gills. But if there's not much oxygen in the blood, they need to frantically pump lots and lots and lots of water over their gills so that they can get more oxygen. So terrestrial animals like us breathe air. And this is great because there's lots of oxygen in the air. The problem with breathing air is that if you're going to breathe air, you have to have a large, moist gas exchange surface. So, you know, mammals have lungs. And the disadvantage of this is that water continually evaporates from the side of your gas exchange, so the lungs. And this is really not too good because it results in great water loss. And if you're a terrestrial animal, you really don't want to lose much water. So it's a bit of a trade-off, really. Another difference between terrestrial animals and water-dwelling animals is the way that gas exchange is regulated. So in terrestrial animals, it's regulated by the amount of carbon dioxide in the blood. So more carbon dioxide in the blood means you'll breathe faster and faster. But in mammals, what basically happens is air travels ideally in through your nostrils so that it can get filtered, then down your pharynx at the back of your throat, down your trachea to your bronchi, which is where the trachea splits into two pipes called bronchi. And then each bronchi ends up splitting into thousands of bronchioles, which is thousands of other smaller tubes. And then each bronchiole ends in a little alveoli, which is basically a little sac. And we've got millions of alveoli in our lungs. And in the alveoli, that's where gas exchange takes place. So we're breathing all the time. And the amount of air that we regularly just breathe in and out normally, that's called our tidal volume. And that can change. So if you do some really energetic exercise, your tidal volume will increase. But if you're just sitting still for a couple of hours, your tidal volume will decrease. And that's because when you're exercising, your cells need more oxygen. And when you're sitting still, your cells don't need as much oxygen. And that's different. So your tidal volume is different to your lung capacity or your vital capacity, which is the total amount of air that your lungs are capable of breathing in. Now, those little air sacs in your lungs, the alveoli, a lot of blood passes past them, and that's so the blood can take away all the oxygen that diffuses across the membrane there. And then what happens then is the oxygen is carried around the body by the respiratory pigment hemoglobin. And hemoglobin is a pigment, and it's actually the pigment that makes your blood red. So blood then carries, red blood cells, which have hemoglobin in them, carry the oxygen all around your body to all the cells of your body, and that's then used in cellular respiration. Oxygen is also stored in myoglobin, in muscle cells, and that's because muscles do work. And that's basically so that muscles have got a little bit of oxygen ready and waiting. So if they need to do some quick work, they've got a bit of spare oxygen ready. The other reason that a lot of blood passes via the alveoli is, of course, we need to get rid of all the carbon dioxide that we make through cellular respiration. So a waste product of cellular respiration. So the carbon dioxide is carried from all the cells of the body. So it's carried in the plasma, and a little bit of it is combined with hemoglobin, and it's carried back to your lungs, and it passes back across the gas exchange surface of the alveoli, and then of course you breathe it out. So you breathe in oxygen, this travels down your alveoli into your blood, goes around your body, carbon dioxide comes back, and then you breathe it out. And then everyone's happy as Larry. Now, gas exchange happens quite differently in plants. So basically, both oxygen and carbon dioxide can be nutrients or wastes, depending on the time of day for a plant. So carbon dioxide is a waste product of cellular respiration, which all plants, you know, all the cells of plants have to undergo cellular respiration to get the energy they need. But oxygen is a waste product of photosynthesis, and plants undergo photosynthesis to make their own food. Overall, though, in an entire day, plants would actually excrete more oxygen than they would take up. So overall, for a plant, oxygen is a waste product. So plants exchange gases with their environment by special openings on their leaves called stomata. And these are bordered by special cells called guard cells. And the guard cells control whether or not the stomata, that the kind of little hole in the leaf, is open or closed. And gas exchange, similar to us, gas exchange happens via diffusion. So basically, if a plant doesn't have much carbon dioxide in it and it needs some carbon dioxide to photosynthesize, because the concentration gradient will be different because there's lots of carbon dioxide outside the plant, the carbon dioxide will diffuse into the plant so it has enough carbon dioxide. And the opening and closing of the stomata actually controls the amount of gas exchange that takes place in a plant. And that brings episode 8 of the VC Biology Podcast to a close. I'm Mr. Barlow, and thanks for listening.